I'm Christine Dean, and we have a special guest in the studio this afternoon. Not quite a live from Studio A, because she's not going to be performing live today, but we do have some tracks to play from her new album. It is Galen Lee. Welcome, Galen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I've been trying to track you down, but you've been pretty darn busy for the last several months. You were last here on February 25th, I think it was, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure it's the very day before you found out that you won the Tiny Desk concert.
You're totally right. That is exactly when it was, but so weird.
So ever since then, I've been like, oh my gosh. And it's kind of funny because I knew that you had submitted a video, but a few local people had submitted videos, and I had thought about asking you about it, and it kind of slipped my mind, and then I thought, oh, that's no big deal, because 6,000 entries, what are the odds that any of Duluth people are going to win, so it's okay that I didn't ask her, and then you won.
I know. That was the biggest surprise of my life so far, I think. It was so unexpected, but it's been a really fun year.
So tell me, I want to hear about the moment that, how did you find out, first of all? How did they notify you, and how did you react?
So the day that I found out, I was teaching fiddle lessons, and I checked my email in between students one day, and on the 26th, and I got an email from NPR, and it was from a lady named Jessica, and she said, we would like to talk to you sometime, preferably today. And I got kind of shaky, because I thought maybe I was a finalist. That's actually what I thought, because I knew they kind of narrowed it down to about 50. And that's the ones that the judges actually voted on, were these 50 videos. Because I had read that somewhere, and I was like, oh my goodness, maybe I'm one of the 50. That's so cool. And so we arranged the time to talk. I had to try to focus through a couple more lessons, which was really hard. And then I got a phone call later that afternoon. And it was actually Bob Boylan on the phone. And it was just such a weird phone call. He started out telling me about like all the things he liked about the music, not just that one song, but he had clearly listened to a bunch of other things that I had put out there, and then eventually, after wrapping up like what he liked about the music, he said, well, the reason I'm calling is because I want to let you know that we chose you as the winner. And it was just such a, it was so weird.
Wow.
It was a very surreal moment, and I remember trying to just really be in the present at that second, because I was like, this moment is definitely a big deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. But
and you mentioned Bob Boylan, and he is the man from NPR Music that started the Tiny Desk concerts a long time ago.
Yep.
And I'm not sure how long they did when they started doing the contest, but
this is the second contest.
Only the second
one. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so they did one last year, and really a blues kind of singer named Fantastic Negrito won. And then this year I won, and I'm sure we'll do it again next year, because it's been a really cool experience for building community of artists. I mean, it really was a fun project. I thought they did a really good job with it. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And when you were here, before you had won the contest, we were talking about your album you had just put out. It had been out for a few months, I think. Songs We Sing Along the Way, right?
That one was actually All the Roads That Lead Us Home.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't look far enough up on my list. All the Roads That Lead Us Home. You had put that album out. And when we talked, you were talking to me a little bit. You're like, well, you know, I'm thinking about touring. I kind of want to do a Midwest tour and see how that would work.
Yep, yeah.
And then you won the contest, and you were kind of thrown. I mean, it's good that you were already planning that, I guess.
I know.
Yeah.
It feels, in a weird way, very, like, meant to be almost, in terms of where I was at. I think if this had happened a year before, I might not have been ready for all the things that came afterwards, but that was a really good point in life to have that kind of a boost, because I was thinking about touring, and music was something that it was obviously becoming like a central focus of my life. And then now, you know, I had a lot of opportunities right after that. They took us on a tour all over the country, 5 different places that we played, and then I had an opportunity to start touring full time after that, and I was ready to take it. I don't know, you know, you never know if it had happened earlier, if I would have been like, yes, I will leave everything and figure out if this touring thing is a good idea. But we were ready to do it, and it's been a really cool year.
Well, and you and your husband, Paul, who's here today, you went all in. You sold your house.
Yep.
And did you already have the van, or did you buy the van?
We bought a better van because our van was very old. Yes.
And it had to be something that you could you could stand to be together in for on the road for a while.
Yep.
And you kind of specially outfitted it, right?
Yep. It's got a bed. We built a cool bed in the back. We don't really sleep in there that often, but it's nice to have for like relaxing in the afternoon. But it also came with a real wheelchair lift, which our last van didn't have, which made it hard to get in and out. So it's just, it's a lot better. It's got tie-downs that are safe, like real wheelchair tie-downs. And and it's got room for all our luggage, because we really do, I mean, we were gone for 25 days, got back on Sunday. So, I mean, you know, you have to be able to have enough stuff to last you for 25 days in a van. So it's been cool. I mean, yeah, learning curve. Holy cow.
Well, and last time you were here, you were talking about, I think that's, either you were talking about it there or a different interview that I heard of you. You were talking about one of the reasons that you wanted to do it is because you're a person with disabilities, and you wanted to show other people that it can be done, and that even though there are barriers, that it can be done.
Yeah.
And so how did it work out, like, as you were doing it? How did it feel? Was it easy to do? Was it...
Well, it's been,
what would you tell other people, I guess, with barriers like that?
Well, I think it's important to be doing it. Like, I think if you can find the support you need to make it possible, more people need to be out there performing. You know, only about, I would say, 30% of the stages, even though it's on my tech rider, like that I need a ramp and you can rent them if you can't build it. You know, I would say only about 30% of venues actually went ahead and put up a ramp, and so just like access is still a real issue. I became more aware of the barriers facing audience members with disabilities, because some of the venues I played ended up not being very accessible, and going forward that's a really big priority to me, because one thing that was really cool is when I perform now, people with disabilities are coming to my shows, which I want. I mean, I want that to be a normalized thing, that people of all different abilities and stuff can go to see live music at night and go out to venues. But it became clear to me that I need to make that a priority, not just accessibility of the stage, but am I playing at places that are welcoming to all sorts of people? And it's things like that where you realize how much work we have to do. But I don't think it will change if people don't demand it. So as a performer, I can say, I really, like, this is a priority, like, accessibility. And then in terms of where I book myself and where I choose to participate, I want it to be welcoming to other people. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It has been eye-opening. I mean, we got rejected from a hotel in Massachusetts because of my wheelchair. I mean, like, things like that still happen.
Yeah, that seems crazy, yeah.
In 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to push the boundaries to make sure that things progress. Mm-hmm. You know, the ADA didn't magically fix everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, and another thing that you mentioned last time was that you hadn't really met a lot of other disabled artists. Have you made connections with people along the way?
I have, and that's been really neat. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot more that I'd like to meet, but there's a rapper, like hip-hop artist with my disability named Kaylin. It's like a parallel universe. So we got to meet and hang out in Denver, Colorado, and that was really neat. And I know there's more people out there that I'm going to get to meet. I've also met some other activists who come to the show, and I feel like I'm expanding my connections of people with disabilities. And I want to just make sure that in the age where we talk about, which is good, I mean, hopefully we'll continue to do that the next 4 years, where we're talking about how can we include people who are maybe like not as empowered in our society. I want to keep that dialogue open to people with disabilities. And so meeting other activists has been really neat, and other artists. And I want to continue to make that a more visible discussion piece.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons that you're here is because you have a CD release show coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
So you've put out a couple CDs in the last several months, which is pretty cool. And one was the one that I mentioned, Songs We Sing Along the Way, and that was an EP, right?
Yep, there were 6 tracks on there. Mm-hmm. When I won the Tiny Desk Contest, people started asking me where they could buy that song, and there wasn't a recording of it yet. So in May, I did a really, basically the same version that I submitted at Sacred Heart, but I wanted to have like a an album with it. So that was a single. And then in August, I recorded an EP with Al Church down in Minneapolis. And it's 6 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That was released on August 15th.
Wonderful. And the song that you submitted, and I'm blanking on the name of it again. I know you performed it.
Someday will linger in the sun. Yep.
I don't know if I ever heard you talk about what it's about, and it seems like a very personal song, so I'm not sure if you talk much about it. But I,
oh, yeah, oh, okay. I do. Okay. So I wrote that before I got married to Paul, about 6 weeks before, I ended up having to have like an emergency surgery and there were complications and things got kind of scary for a while there, and it's right before our wedding. I mean, it was really terrible timing, but Paul was very compassionate, and he, like, slept in the hospital room with me for a week, and he was just very comforting, and it kind of just reminded me that love doesn't have to be easy to be beautiful, and that's what the song is about. I mean, I don't come out to say that directly in the lyrics, but that's what experience kind of spurred that song. So mm-hmm.
And there's such beautiful imagery in it. We pulled the weeds out till the dawn and things like that. And you're it's just such a lovely song. I can understand why they would choose that one.
Oh, well, thanks.
So you have the EP out in order to kind of showcase that music as you're doing this great tour. And then you decided to put a Christmas album out. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to hear a tune off of that. And you have the Christmas song or Christmas album release show coming up on Saturday at Beaners, right?
Yep.
With Brothers Burn Mountain. So we're going to hear a tune from that. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that. And I know Al Church worked with you on it, and we'll talk about him a little bit. And so we're going to hear one, and I think we're going to start with The Holly and the Ivy, I Saw Three Ships. Galen Lee here on KUMD. That's Galen Lee from her new Christmas album. Yes, we're playing a little Christmas album, a little bit of Christmas music a little bit early here because we have Galen in the studio right now talking about her release show, which is coming up Saturday at Beaners. What made you decide to do a Christmas album?
Well, I love Christmas. I mean, there's not a lot of other reasons. My husband and I got married 4 days before Christmas just because it's always been my favorite time of year. I think it's because the winter, I mean, realistically, the winter is kind of hard for people with mobility issues, and I really like Christmas partly because it's a positive thing to focus on as the seasons change, and it's always been, I don't know, I had a, you know, it was a big deal in my family growing up, and the music of Christmas especially is something that I just have always really loved and given me a lot of comfort. So when I recorded my first full-length album, I knew that I wanted to do a Christmas album because also, coincidentally, Christmas carols loop pretty well. I mean, as you can tell, you can kind of mix and match them and do fun things with the looping pedal. And so in the same way you can with fiddle tunes. So I knew that that was a project I wanted to do. And it felt like a good time to try something like that. So.
And there's a lot of songs on here. How did you decide what to include?
Well, a lot of them are just ones that I like. I don't care for very many contemporary Christmas songs, so a lot of them are pretty old. Some of them are a little bit more obscure, like the Wexford Carol and the Sussex Carol. Just ones that I like, and then they had to be something that you could loop or do something creative with, because I did want it to be kind of a sonic adventure for people, so I tried to, you know, make them as varied and interesting as possible. So part of it had to do with including a variety of different textures and sounds and tone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun album to try because, I don't know, there's just so many good Christmas carols, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then you get to kind of change them up a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But they're so familiar that, you know, you can grab onto that thread that everybody already knows and then have a little fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. It
like.
Yeah, yep, exactly. I wanted it to be different enough, but not like modern, where people wouldn't feel like they were listening to a carol. I think the violin's a good medium for that, because it's a very old sound, but with a looping pedal, you can really mix things up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And the name of the album is Deepest Darkness, Brightest Dawn, which today was feeling very...
dark.
How do you say that word? Prescient to me? Like,
yeah.
Looking ahead, and you kind of picked this name that
yep.
is very fitting for the time that we're in right now.
I know.
Hoping for that brightest dawn
exactly.
to come.
Yep. And that's kind of how winter is, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Christmas... And I didn't want it... You know, Christmas is a happy time for me, but I know that it's not everybody's... favorite time of year because of different reasons, and I think it's okay to acknowledge that we all have different experiences around the holidays. So I tried, that's one of the reasons I tried to include such a different tones in the album, is it's not all super happy sounding songs, because I think Christmas has a lot of layers and meanings for people. Mm-hmm. They're not all the same.
True, that's yeah. true. For some people it's a very difficult time of year. And Al Church joined you for some of this, who is a guitarist, and he was on your Songs We Sing Along the Way album, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And you guys went to school together, is that right? And he's from Duluth, lives in the Twin Cities now, and has had some success as a solo artist and with his band BB Gun. But you guys went to school together, right?
Yeah, it's really funny. So we went to high school together. We weren't like... super tight or anything, but we did a talent show together my senior year, and I always thought he was a really nice person, and it just so happened, right, like literally the day before I started recording the EP, that he was opening for me at a show down in the cities, and I had said, you know, I like collaborating with people. If you want to sit up for part of my set, you'd be welcome to join me. And so he did, he stayed up, but he ended up staying for about half the set because it was really fun and we connected a lot on a musical level. And so I said, I happen to be recording tomorrow. I'm doing like at least a couple tracks. I didn't have a plan for an EP yet in my head. And I was like, but if you are free, might as well come and see what happens. And he did, and it went really well. And we decided to keep going. So we did two more recording sessions, and that's how the EP came to be. And we've gotten closer since then. It's been really fun to get to know him as an adult. I mean, we had this like brief connection in high school, but now like getting to know people again as 32-year-olds is kind of a fun thing. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, and he's really cool. And so for the Christmas album, we didn't get a chance to record together in the studio, but I sent him the tracks and he added percussion and some guitar and different pieces on about half of the tracks.
Okay.
And it was neat because he adds a lot, I think, texture that the violin can't always provide, you know?
So mm-hmm.
it was fun.
Yeah, just a little bit extra. So as you've been going on this adventure, you've been actually collaborating with a lot of different people. It seems like you've had a lot of opportunities. You were on stage with Lucius. Mm-hmm. I watched the video of that. That was pretty cool. You know, and locally, you know, I've seen you perform with Jim Hall a little bit more, and
yep.
and that must be really fun to just kind of get out there I don't want to say wing it, but sometimes I think you kind of are just jumping in. And how has that been for you?
I have always really liked collaborating, and I think it just kind of stretches you and makes, I don't know, it expands your mindset of what's possible with music. I mean, I obviously playing with Alan Sparhawk has been a huge part of my life, but what's fun is when you collaborate with other people, they're not all replicas of each other. And so being able to play with Al Church is different than playing with Al Sparhawk, different than Jim Hall. Like, everybody's got these different elements they bring out in you. And I think it's a really neat way to kind of see what might be possible for the future. And just, there's some kind of magic that happens, I think, when two people get together and play. Yeah, I mean, in Detroit, I sat in with a guy named Warren DeFever on a few tracks. He's a friend of Alan Sparhawk's from back in the day. And that's different, too. It's like every person you meet has their own stamp on their music, and it's fun to just explore. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And speaking of Alan, last time you were here, you were also talking about, oh, yeah, we're working on a Murder of Crows thing. And I'm assuming that went on the back burner when you got a little busy. And
someday,
Alan's pretty busy.
I hope it will happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's busy and I'm busy. And it's just one of those things where I know we'll always, I mean, I assume that we'll always have some kind of projects filtering in around the Murder of Crows. But right now, I don't know the exact plan for the future. Mm-hmm. But I am opening for Low in Ireland in December.
That's right. And so, it's a Christmas show, right?
Yeah, I'm so excited. So I'm excited to travel overseas with them. That was never on my radar before. So that'll be very fun.
Mm-hmm. That is so wonderful that you have that. Well, you've had so many opportunities. Tell me about some of the shows that you've done. And, you know, are you booking a lot of shows yourself, or are you just having people come to you and say, hey, we want to have you on our program? And I'm thinking of, you've been on some NPR programs, including Ask Me Another, the game show.
Yeah. Well, like, the NPR folks were really cool right after the Tiny Desk to set up that 5-city tour. So Ask Me Another was part of that.
Okay.
That was a show that they recorded out in New York. And then in June, I started working with a booking agent who's done a good job of trying to help me find new places to play around the country. So I did Music City Roots down in Tennessee recently, and that was very fun. It's a radio, live radio show. And the Blue Plate Special, which is also in Tennessee. And World Cafe Live was a place that we played that was fun. I mean, we've just been doing a lot of different things. One thing I like is I've been doing more disability speaking and playing events, kind of combining the two. And I think that that's something I'm really passionate about, so I'm glad that I get to do some more of that. I don't know, seeing the country has been really neat. I mean, it's certainly not a vacation. You're driving like 5 hours and then playing a show that night, but it is really neat to see new places, meet new people, and then, you know, help hopefully spread some like disability awareness along the way.
And you did a TED Talk, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
When is that going to be available?
They said within the next couple of months.
Oh,
it was
okay.
About sexuality and disabilities, mm-hmm. which is something that I also have done a lot of writing and talking about. So I'm excited that that'll be available online.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be on your website. Mm-hmm. And for people that want to keep in touch with you, what's your website again?
It's violinscratches.com.
And you're also on Facebook.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up with Silent Night because, I think we just need some just a lovely, peaceful healing song today.
Yeah.
A lot of us have been having a tough time.
Yeah.
And again, you have the release show for your Christmas album coming up Saturday with the Brothers Burn Mountain at Beener Central at 7:00.
Yeah, and Al Church will be there, actually. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that's
He's
great.
He's coming to play. So,
fun.
Yeah.
And then are you off again? It just kind of seems like you're back into do with. I love that you keep coming back for that monthly Bulldog Pizza gig.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have you missed one since?
No, not once a month. I've been doing it once a month. I'm planning to keep doing that. I think it's fun to have one family-friendly event that's not too late at night where people can go. A lot of my friends and family go to that one in particular because of scheduling and stuff, so it's fun to be able to go there.
Well, and it's fun that even though, you know, you're having these adventures and you're on the road, we always know you're going to come back. So.
Yep.
And I think that's where you got your started as doing solo stuff and kind of trying things out, I think you told us before. So.
Yeah, Bulldog has a special place in my heart because I had a weekly gig there for a full year. And that's my first, like, residency with my looping pedal. And I learned a lot about looping during my 2 hours a week at Bulldog Pizza.
So are you heading out again soon after this, after the release show?
Yeah, we're leaving Thursday, actually, before the release show for a few shows in Minneapolis. And then we get back and I'm doing a week-long residency with Classical NPR in the schools up in Bemidji. And then coming home for a little couple of days and then leaving again. I'm sitting in with the band Pig Face on Thanksgiving, like Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be in Chicago over Thanksgiving. And then the next big thing is that Low tour for Ireland. So just a lot of little random trips, so it won't be quite as extensive. The next big tour is in January.
Okay.
And then we'll be gone for about a month. So.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been so fun to follow along with your adventures, and I'm glad we finally were able to get you back in here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And again, Galen will be playing a CD release show on Saturday at 7 at Beener Central. We're going to wrap up with something from her Christmas album, Deepest Darkness, Brightest Dawn, and it's her version of Silent Night on KUMD.